Selected short writings by C. A. Coates. What meanest thou? It has been estimated that over 75% of the inhabitants of this country have no concern about the salvation of their souls. They are not atheists or infidels, nor do they make any profession of being saved. They are simply indifferent to the whole matter. If the thought of having to do with God comes into their minds, they solace themselves by a comparison of their own state with that of their fellows, and they conclude that as they are not worse than others, and perhaps better than many, there is no reason why they should have any concern as to their spiritual state. Any occasional alarm is speedily stilled by the thought that God is merciful, a sentiment which in the mind of an indifferent sinner means that he likes to think of God as one whose judgment of sin is not much more severe than his own. It is to this large body of people, and to each individual in it, that the following plain words are addressed. You are not indifferent to things which affect your health, your circumstances, your prosperity, or your future in life. Nor are you uninterested in current events and great social movements. You are in deep concern when your child is sick and lies on the borderline between life and death. You spend hours in thought about the interests of your political party. You have regard to the maintenance of your credit, character, and reputation. Then why so indifferent to that which is of vastly greater importance than all these things put together, your eternal salvation? A friendly voice asks you the question which stands at the head of this paper, a question which once rang on the startled ear of Jonah. What meanest thou, O sleeper? You would be the first to condemn the folly of indifference if you saw it displayed when good opportunities presented themselves for pecuniary gain, mental improvement, or social elevation. Yet eternal gain is within your reach, and the greatest possible elevation is offered to you without awakening in your heart the least desire to secure it for yourself. What should we say of a sick man who took no interest in what is known to be an unfailing remedy for his disease, of a culprit sentenced to death who was heedless when tidings of a royal pardon were brought to his cell, of a drowning man who would not regard the lifeline which he sees within his reach? You would say of such persons that they were bereft of their senses. Then what must we think of a sinful creature who has no care or anxiety about his soul, and who looks upon the gospel as unworthy of his notice? Surely such indifference is not wise. But further than this, it is fraught with danger. To walk blindfold on the edge of a precipice is a dangerous as well as a foolish performance. Unbelief does not annihilate God, responsibility, sins, judgment, eternity. The peril is great and real. Do not trifle with it. You may remember reading how the signalman at the end of the Tay Bridge crept along the structure on that wild December night amid the fury of the storm, until, peering through the darkness, he could discover the awful chasm through which the tempest was sweeping. You may depend upon it he did not return to his cabin to put the signals right for another train to pass on to the bridge. But what would you have thought of the driver and guard of the next train if, in utter disregard of the signals and of the entreaties of the signalman, they had persisted in going forward, the driver saying, "I don't believe the bridge is down," and the guard adding, "Nobody can know until they get there, and we must take our chance." You would have exclaimed, "Madmen!" You would have said that they were rushing headlong not only into danger, but into certain destruction. Beware! The signals of Holy Scripture are all against you, and another warning reaches you now as you speed along to eternity. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. In the year of the Great Plague, 90,000 persons died in London. With the earliest symptoms of the disease, all indifference fled. Many went mad with terror and ran screaming through the grass-grown deserted streets